Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. It is a Sunday morning, March 11th, 2012, and I am very grateful you chose to be with me as I offer to you some insights into some very interesting questions that I'm humbly grateful for that people have sent to me over the past week or so. And I want to thank those of you who have been so kind, diligent, and generous in doing this. You'll never know just how kind this is. People write me. They listen to these radio programs via my website at aspire.org, and you can go and listen to past programs and programs I have never aired yet. Believe it or not, they're there, and you can go and listen if you would like, and just enjoy yourself, and may it all serve you very, very well. And your questions matter, and I want to thank those of you who take the time to write me with pertinent questions that are about the things that are important to you. And that's all that really matters, really what's important to what's going on within you. For the month of March, as many of you know, I'm doing karma, my karma, your karma. What is our karma? Our whole year is based in karma. This will be our first year. There will be more to come. I can guarantee it. And I'm sure many of you have wondered, what is my karma? What exactly am I doing in my karma? What's this really all about? Well, my newsletter, Message of the Month, and my beautiful discourses for the month are all based on how to insight to karma and what it's all about. We'll talk a little bit more about it at the end of the program. First question comes from Ken, who listens to us in, let's see, where is this, New York City, and he listens to us via the website at aspire.org. He says, "You are teaching karma, I see. How does karma affect those of us who do not believe in it, Ken?" Well, Ken, if you don't believe in it, why do you ask the question? I'm not clear on that. I think there's a part of everybody who wonders about karma. You know, we want to cover all of our bases to make sure that we didn't mess up on everything. And so we try to look at things like karma, which we don't truly understand and don't even have an inkling to understand, and maybe think, well, if I get a brief overview on this puppy, maybe I can kind of get the drift of it and cover my bases. Ken, what can I say? Karma. How does karma, you say, affect those of us who do not believe in it? It is no different for any of us in this world. I have karma. You have karma. This does not mean we are bad. It means we have karma. We've come into this world, and there are things in this world that we are here to maturate in. Some things we are here to insightfully live through. And it is all about a certain presence, an order that we can acknowledge that is beyond this small circumference of my thinking, my biology, and my DNA. So when we get down to the nitty-gritty of karma, we're not looking at karma like it's something bad that, you know, you've done. You've heard the old saying, karma's a bitch, things like that. It's not about that, yet it includes that. Karma is the way things operate, and at different levels, in different lives, in different places in this universe, karma changes, and it goes from here to there to there to there, always seeking to do one thing, Ken, to elevate us into love. It's all about evolution into love and to elevate us from my ego center, my pride center, my vanity, my ignorance, my willful ignorance, into a great love that has always lived within me. I just haven't been much interested in attaining to it. And that's really what it's all about. Anything more or anything less is just plain foolish. So I'm not sitting here trying to get you to believe in karma. I think that's kind of the drift of this. You lead me to believe, and maybe I'm very wrong about this, so forgive me. But It almost sounds like what you're saying to me is, look, I don't believe in karma, but tell me what it's all about so I can make sure that I don't believe in karma. And that's the way most people live. Everything we are, everything we do matters. That you can know, Ken, one way or another. How it will directly affect you, I do not know. That is, you know, not something I'm privy to. I have certain situations in my life where I'm very sensitive to the karma that is there. And it's there to guide me, not to punish me. You have to look at it as though it is guidelines that are trying to elevate us into love, not punish us for our ignorance, our pride, our vanity, even though I am, in a way, removed from a great deal of joy and happiness in my life based on my willful intent to think that I know what justice is, what right is, even what love is. Most people would say they know all about that. They know what justice and love and rightness and all that is all about. They would swear to it. But I cannot. I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt that I know nothing about those things. I have seen very good people have very terrible things happen to them. I've seen very terrible people, quote unquote, have very good things happen to them. I really have. You know, I am astounded by my own stupidity in the whole matter. So I have learned something. I don't go there. I don't go to anything that makes me believe I understand anything. So here I am on the radio trying to share with you and explain to you something that you won't appreciate probably because it's going to sound like falderal to you, like me just, you know, talking out my rear end here. But the truth of the matter is the karma that I know that I can help you with is only there as a matter of consequence, and that's sad. You see, there's more to karma than my consequences, but when I remove myself from the idea of love, when I'm more interested in how to get what I want than to live in love, I force myself to be in the consequences of my own ignorance, willfulness, and stupidity. Now, that's something you just have to understand and deal with. There is nothing I can say or do to help you with that. You don't have to believe in it to be subject to it, Ken, neither do I. And imagine all the things that I don't understand about karma, that I am subject to, that maybe I don't give much attention to because I'm too busy doing what I want to be doing. This is all very difficult for the average person to comprehend. They don't get it. It doesn't make sense. And if it doesn't, then it has to be foolish or it's some sort of gimmick. But it's not. This is why at times, from out of nowhere, something magnificent will happen to you. Something grand. Something gorgeous. And at times, out of the blue, for no apparent reason at all, something disappointing can happen. It's all a matter of my karma. So, my dear man, you live a long ways away. There isn't anything I can really do to sit here and have a combo with you, but this is what I can say. If you don't believe in karma, don't believe in it. Just keep not believing. Keep going the way you are. Keep doing the things you're doing and enjoy your life as much as you possibly can. Eventually, you will see what I mean and how this has helped you, this advice I have given you. Just don't let it become a belief. When I let anything that is spiritual become a belief, then or anything for that matter, any idealism, it becomes solidified as logic and reasoning, and I have lost the substance of my life. And I have lost the beauty of my existence. Don't let that happen to you. Keep going and going and going until you can't go anymore. And then one day, you'll get it. I promise. Please forgive me, Ken. Namaste. It's a great question. You know, how do you tell people about the thing that they can't recognize or they can't think? I had a friend in college who used to say, if you can't eat it, drink it, smoke it, or have sex with it, it's valueless. So I think that a lot of people adhere to that, you know. If you can't use it in some way to gratify the human body or the human existence or whatever, then it must not be real or it must not be important. And I understand that. But there are matters in our life that exceed the matter of our life. And most people are not much interested in that. That's why I'm where I am with you. The next question comes from Lynn in Las Vegas, Nevada. I didn't think anybody in Las Vegas and Nevada would listen to a radio program like this. And she does it, of course, through my website at aspire.org. I have been factual. Excuse me. I have been factual but not truthful with my ex. I caused him a great deal of turmoil and unhappiness in our divorce. Karmically, what am I facing, Lynn? Well, I don't know what you're facing. How would I know? I don't know. No one could tell you. If my guru were sitting here, he couldn't tell you. No one can tell you. But this is a really difficult subject. And I chose it because I know so many people who have this in their life. You know, you can be factual about things. Nothing more dangerous than half-truths, is there? To use facts to navigate a conclusion that you want to have happen or you want to believe in order to free yourself of whatever it is that you don't want to think you're doing so you can do what you want to do. It's just that simple. And that's really what we do with so many things in our life. Divorces and relationships are very difficult things. We've all been through them. Well, most of us have been through them according to statistics, but they are very difficult things. And you're really faced with the consequences of yourself upon your own life when you are facing them. I don't think anything brings us more to that other than death. Well, you're asking me, what am I facing? Maybe, Lynn, it isn't about what you're facing. Maybe your attention shouldn't be about that. You know, when I only do good because I'm afraid of what will happen if I don't, then my good is no good. Do you know what I mean? Then my good is useless. My good is foolish. My good is utilitarian. If I only do kind and loving things because I'm afraid of what will happen if I don't, then everything I do is tainted by my ego, my vanity, my pride, my selfishness. So, you know, if you really are being honest about this with yourself, and you want to do something that is loving and kind, you're going to have to first forgive you. And to do so, probably, will require getting a hold of your ex, if you can do it, if he'll even talk to you. Because by now you've probably lost a lot of credibility in his mind. But if you haven't, and you can talk to him, you can sit down with him and say to him what you said to me. It's just really that simple. Seek forgiveness. Seek compassion with him. Seek to work upon yourself. And not to be pointing fingers at other people. What is it about me that made all this possible? This is a very important thing to ask myself. What is it about me that made all this possible? If I am honest about it, if I am dealing with it truthfully inside of myself, I can see that maybe I got into this relationship or you got into this relationship with hidden motives and agendas that even maybe you didn't know. That happens with people. I've seen that happen a lot, where people have an agenda, an emotion, a passion, some kind of thought about this, that, or the other, and they just get caught up in it. And they think that's it. You know, that's where they are, that's what it's all about, and that's life in the big city. But that's not the way. You have to begin to see that everything you do matters. So you've done some things, you've said some things that were factual but not truthful. And I admire you for that. I don't know many people that would admit that to a stranger like me, much less admit it to even a counselor or someone that they were close to. Normally people are trying to cover up their cat poop all the time. And they try to do it by rationalizing, theorizing, and logifying their hatred and their fear. Listen to me. Hate and fear, no matter how you make it a logical effort, is never good for you or me. No matter how you make it logical, no matter how reasonable it seems to be, no matter how noble you think you are for saying the things you say that you think are rational and right and true and real, they're not. And they have ramifications to them that come back to haunt us all. So it just all depends on what you want to do with what you know. What do you want to do with your life? What do you want to do with the rest of your living, Lynn? Do you want your life to be shadowed by this forever? And it will follow you not just into your worldly life here, but into every life, everything you do, from cutting up your vegetables for your evening dinner, to taking a walk, to loving another person, to looking at your own face in the mirror. You have to deal with what you've done. And if you don't feel it has been on the up and up, which obviously you don't, or you wouldn't be writing me, a stranger in all of this, then it's time for you to move ahead and rectify the situation through compassion and love and turn your entire life around. This is a chance for you to turn your entire life around and really make a difference in your living in some way or another. So just think about it. Just kind of be with it, maybe. Look at your life, look at your living, look at your love, look at whatever it is that affects you, and let love live you. Don't live your life, you know, automatically. A lot of people like to live automatically. And, you know, it's not good. Automatically, I'm defensive. Automatically, I'm always right. Automatically, you're always wrong. How do you know all of that? You say you caused your ex a great deal of turmoil. Ouch. Time to maybe heal that with him. Isn't it weird? Many years ago, I used to perform wedding after wedding after wedding. And I could see that what I was doing was entering into the karma of other people. Most of these weddings, according to statistics, would say that they wouldn't last long. And I really started to realize what I'm doing here is that I'm not performing a service. I'm entering into their karma. And I'm asking them to enter into mine. Everything we do for each other is done to us. There is nothing that is, shall we say, without repercussions. So look what I've done. So I quit doing them and, you know, all that stuff. And I start to realize now, more than ever, my dear Lynn, that whatever I do to myself. And you need to recognize that through all you've done. If you can recognize everything I've done hasn't been to him, but actually in the end was done to me, then you have achieved a great deal in your life. And you can go with humility and kindness to him. And if he has done any inner work at all, if he's done anything that is beautiful, if he's has any ounce of compassion within him, he'll listen to you. If he doesn't, then that's his karma, isn't it? Hate never yet dispelled hate, as Buddha said. Only love dispels hate. Let love dispel the hate between the two of you. Find it within yourself. Let love live you. Please forgive me. Namaste. I have seen this, oh, so much in my lifetime. It's laborious. And, you know, to vindicate yourself by hurting another person, even for what is factual, isn't the truth of a given situation. And I have to really look at that in myself and ask myself, what am I doing when I do this kind of thing? I'm really not doing it to another. I'm only doing it to myself, and I'm showing my ignorance towards life, because life just doesn't work that way. It's far deeper than all of that. I hope I helped you, Lynn. Last question comes from Sal, and he lives here in Monterey. Ooh, baby. What can I do to fulfill love past my emotions as you teach on the radio, Sal? Excuse me, Sal, for screwing that up. I'm notorious for it. That and snorting. Well, what can you do? What can you do? Haven't you and I done enough? What can I do to feel love past emotion? Give up emotions. You know, the old Henny Youngman joke I tell all the time. Doc, it hurts when I do that. Doctor says, then don't do that. I mean, it's really that simple. You're going to have to stay aware. What do I mean by aware? You're going to have to see what emotion is. Emotion is a natural human biological psychological reaction from the body, basically from the body and its memory and what it has in memory about what it has been taught, told, and, you know, touched, how it's been touched in so many ways. And this basically comes a lot from childhood. So parents, listen to me well. How you touch your children, how you love them, how you speak to them, it all matters. And I wouldn't take it for granted at all if I were you, but then again, I'm not you. So you are going to get impulses from your emotions that are going to say that there is an emergency all the time, and that there's high drama all the time, and that you're being attacked, and you better be careful, and you can't live like this, because what if this happens, and what if that happens, and what if this doesn't happen, and all of this stuff goes on and on and on, and you start living that way. Now, if you want to do that, if you want to continue to live like that, which most people do, then go on ahead. You're not going to be a happy person, and you're not going to find great joy and meaning in your life. But if you can separate a little bit and let the emotions act and react without you acting and reacting to them, all of a sudden you'll start building this very unique space within you. It's the distance that occurs between our sorrows and our pain, our gratifications, and authentic love. And when that starts to occur inside of a human being, when we start doing that, the beginnings, the openings of consciousness begin to materialize in us. Now, all of a sudden, without any particular reason, thought, or belief, you start to recognize, oh, that's emotional. Oh, when I do that, it's emotional. Oh, when I'm doing this, I'm being emotional. And then you can start seeing how the emotions play out on your thoughts, how they create thought itself. Psychology would tell you that thoughts come first and then emotions, but I don't agree with that. I find that emotions come first, at least in me. I feel a direct sense of being attacked, or maybe I feel danger in some way, emotionally or psychologically, and then my thoughts kick in to how to make it go away or control it or deal with it. There's so many things that are going on in the course of a human being's life, and none of them are happening the way I think they are. So, my dear Sal, meditate. Work on yourself. Start to separate a little bit from emotions and the patterns of your emotions and the painful pain body we create within our human body. Start to awaken a little bit by doing the exercises that I've offered to you in my new meditations. All these things are there to be of service to you, but you just can't wish it to happen and hope it to happen. It does take some honest, loving effort. And if you don't have it, You don't do it, it don't happen. Thank you for listening, Sal. And please forgive me, eh? Namaste. If you have a comment or question, something I might be able to be of service to humankind through, and you never know what your question might do to help another person, come to my website. Come to the website at aspire.org, aspire.org. And when you get to the main page, to the upper right, you'll see contact. Just click on it and fly with me. Or you can go to the media page and radio and click on it there, and you can email me anything you like. And if you don't want me to use your name, of course I will not. Of course I wouldn't do that. So just let me know what you want, and it shall be done. My new meditations are out. They are very unusual. These are for our Mount Madonna retreat that is coming up here next week. We're going to be working on karma, what it means to be in the light, in the breath of karma. Go take a look. If you go to the website at aspire.org, you'll see some banners going by, and one of them will be about meditation, the new meditations. Click on them. You can listen to little snippets of these very powerful meditations, and hopefully you will find them helpful. There's ambient tones that go along with it. There's so many things that I offer. I work very diligently to help you understand that the measure of your life is the love of your heart. I can't wait for Mount Madonna. I am truly, truly blessed to have this opportunity to be with so many people in an environment that is conducive to our spirituality. That's really wonderful up there, and that'll be next week. I'm out of here. Thank you for listening. I'll be back on the air next Saturday and Sunday at 9:04. And as I always say, please forgive me, eh? Namaste.